What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hey guys, how are you? Welcome to the Self-Helpless podcast. I am Kelsey Cook.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And this week we are going to be talking about the Netflix documentary called Take Your Pills.
Yeah.
Your pills.
Super interesting.
I think it's brand new because it came up, it was like featured where it just automatically plays a trailer right when I got to the homepage. And it's so on par with everything we've been talking about when we had Adrian on to talk about using weed and like microdosing psychedelics instead of medicine.
Yeah.
And then Tay, you just recently shared your experience with the anxiety meds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Right up our alley for what's going on right now with everybody.
Yeah. I'm so excited to talk about
it. Me too.
Yeah.
We'll do some segments first. So Tay, do you have a quotable?
I do have a quotable.
Oh yeah. Let me pull that up for you.
Thank you so much.
Wow. We really I feel like this was a very smooth like weather desk.
That was very good.
Intro with everyone.
We're getting our shit down.
These papers.
Go, nice. Taylor.
Okay, this is the quotable for today. The chief cause of failure and unhappiness is trading what you want most for what you want right now. By Zig Ziglar. I saw that on Tiffany Haddish's Twitter. She posted that quote, and I was like, who said that? And it could
Who's
only
there?
Be who is, show yourself.
Who that?
And I looked it up, and it was good old Zig.
Good old Zig-a-Zig.
Good old Zig-a-Zig.
American author, motivational speaker, old white man.
Yep.
Which we usually don't quote those, but hey, they're good right now. No,
do we not usually quote?
No, we do quote a lot of them because of the old, you know, whatever. Yeah. But that quote to me is like, well, what if what you want right now is what you want most also?
Yeah, it was, it kind of blew my mind a little bit because I'm high and I was just like, whoa, like too much to capture in my brain.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's kind of a big, big thing.
I think that if you read it and you're in a great place, you're like, but what am I saying?
Yeah.
But then other people who aren't that happy or like have things that aren't up to par in their lives are like, oh my God, you're right. Like people who are working jobs they don't like or in relationships that aren't good for them, like they see that quote and they're just like, I'm trading the fantasy in my brain for just this immediate gratification. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess it's like settling.
It is.
You're settling for something.
Quote.
Because like, look, I want to get married in a year. I'm going to make the next person I date fit into this mold as my future husband, but they might not be great for you. If you had just waited a little bit, you'll get that future husband eventually, but you know, he'll be better and all that good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's like, that's just that's why you can't like be present all the time. Like you can't, I know you should be and that's healthy, but like you got to think about the future sometimes.
Yeah.
I feel like you have to like expect, I was talking to my sister the other day who's 18 and like wise beyond her years, and she does listen, so what up, BB? And I was talking to her about my relationship, which is over, and definitely over, and I'm saying it on the podcast so it stays over.
Why did you not say anything yet? Well, because I guess we haven't really seen each other
yet. We've rushed in here, but it was fine. It was like a good, I mean, it sucked. It sucked a lot,
Taylor,
but it was like
just had like a 2-hour phone call.
I feel like
I'm in a weird dream.
It happened yesterday. Happened, like it was over at 2 a.m. So it's
God.
Very fresh.
Taylor.
No, it's, you know, but the thing that resonated with me was I talked to my sister about it beforehand, and she was kind of like, what do you want in 5 years? And I was like, well, when I'm like 30. And she's like, what do you like in your personal life? Your career will be fine. Don't think about that. Because my first thought is always like, I want to be, you know,
right.
I'll be the best forever. She's like, think about your happiness. And I was like, okay, well, that's different. And I was like, honestly, like when I'm 30, I would like to be with the person I'm going to marry. I would like to, like, I think I'm going to be good at being married. I really do. Yeah. That's what I want. All of my friends are not just you guys, but everyone, all my best friends from high school, like everybody I am close to is either married or they're in the thing, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And that's like, there's a reason I gravitate towards those people, because I am those people.
Yeah.
And it just like, it sucks, but like it wasn't working, and I was trying to make it work with this person that like meant a lot to me and still does, and it just is like it just sucks. It just is like shitty situation.
Yeah.
But like, you know, you gotta, at a certain point, you have to be like what you said, like you're trying to force something into a mold that just isn't fit in there, you know?
Yeah.
So when I read that, I was kind of like, oh, like that was for me, where
really
I was like,
right now.
Exactly. Where I was just like, oh, like I really want this to work right now, but like, I do also know what I want, and those things aren't here, unfortunately. And it's nobody's fault, but it just isn't. And like, I don't know. It's hard, 'cause I'm younger and I'm not that mature sometimes. And so I'm just like, I can make it be fine. And you can't sometimes. It just like doesn't work, and you can't keep like, you know, banging your head against the wall. So
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm all right. I really am.
Like, we love you.
Thank you for rubbing my back at the same time. But no, it was like it was a very nice like breakup. It was a nice, like, I mean, again,
cordial,
very shitty,
civilized.
Yeah. It was like, we like hung out for a couple hours to the point where it was like, it was really nice. We were like having a good time. And then at a certain point I was just like, oh man, like, you know, when it like gets quiet and you're like, oh, we probably got to do this now. You know, it was just bad. But like, I don't know. I think everyone's a good person. Everybody's, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I think like we'll be friends and stuff. I just don't know when that will be.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so. Is it something where, because people, I think we've told listeners before, he is a comic as well. Is it something where you're going to be able to be on the same lineup with him anytime soon? Or is that going to be like you're cutting all contact for a while?
Yeah, that's a big question for him.
He's supposed to be on the shows this week.
I know. That's what
I really
asking.
Don't know.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about it. And I don't want to like, I don't think he should have to cancel. Like, if he still wants to do him, like, that's fine with me. I just, because it's, he's not going to like go away. Like, he's going to be there forever. So it's, we might as well get used to it.
Right.
But because we have broken up before where I was just like, I will never again, you know?
Right.
But it was, I'm glad that I'm glad we tried again and stuff, because I don't feel any like regret. Like, I don't feel any
good.
Like, oh, I could, like, when we were like going through stuff like a month ago and I was talking to you and I was just like, I'm emotionally abusive, like I'm a terrible person, I just need to be better. And then like you try again and you like fix everything you think would have fixed it, and then it just still doesn't. So you're like, oh, okay, like there's no thing I could have done, or nothing, as some people would say. There's no thing I could have done.
The old English.
There's no thing I could have done.
Right.
To improve the situation. And
that like shook me out of my high real quick. I was like, no thing.
Yes,
what?
No thing.
So I think when you just, you know, there's something to be said.
So you basically beat it over the head.
I wrote it out. Like you
wrote it out. You hit the wall that you needed to hit, because even talking about it, you seem very calm, cool, and collected.
And I have
which you have not been in the past. You know.
Yeah.
And it seems like I've told you, like with something, you know, you care about somebody and it just doesn't work. Eventually you just kind of hit that wall where I felt like, not even like, it was kind of like a numb feeling, but not numb to where I was so upset that I was like having an out of body experience. It's almost just like,
an acceptance and like the fact that, look, we literally did everything we could. I'm not going to look back on this with like what ifs because I know.
Yeah.
I did all the things and now I know the answer, where for me, that helped me really move on. It's like, I'll never wonder.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
And
we did it.
And you've talked to me about a similar situation you were in at my age. And the thing you always said was like, and you too, where you're like, you were like, these were like bad people.
Like, oh, right.
These were rough, rough individuals.
They were tough. Yeah.
And it wasn't like this with this situation. It was just like, it just sucks. Like, it just doesn't, it just is, it's like an incompatibility thing. Mm-hmm. And it sucks so bad. But, you know, it's better that it's not like a bad, but nobody's like, you're a bad person.
Right.
Like,
right.
Which
yeah.
I've had breakups like that where they're like, you're a bad person. I'm like, I think I just don't like you, but you know, but it's also makes it hard to, you know, just still like love and care about that person and just not be able to. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Get in the Play-Doh.
Yeah.
Mold, you know? So,
absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, the acceptance is a nice. And you just kept telling me, you're like, you just got to write it out. I was like,
well,
it's been written. And he's great. And I will probably like always just, you know, have that like little, it's hard. It's really important to me. But,
yeah,
you know, you gotta do it. So, and we've gotten emails from people who kind of have had like similar situations.
What we've all had.
And that's the other thing is like when your friends are older and they're telling you what they've been through and it's exactly what you're doing at the moment.
Right.
And you're just like, look. I logically know that you are correct.
Well, yeah, and we told you that. We were like, you're never going to be able to walk away fully if you don't like really, really know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to keep like regretting it if you do leave too early. And I had told the toxic relationship I was in before Kane, I had told friends and family, like, look, I know I'm not supposed to be in this. Like, I got to an actual point where I knew I'm not supposed to be in this, but I'm still not quite ready.
Yeah.
And people were like, what? How can you know and still stay? And I was like, I need some more time.
Yeah.
And I think it was probably another few months after that.
Yeah.
So
you have to experience it yourself. It's like a couple episodes ago, you were saying that when I was like, you guys take a break, don't get burned out, you know, like that. But you have to really physically experience it.
Yeah.
You have to feel it yourself and you have to know it. You can't just take from what somebody else said because you're your own person. You got to feel those feelings.
Yeah. And it's kind of like that with any relationship, isn't it? Where you get to a point where you're kind of like, you know, it's probably over, but you like pretend a little bit longer.
Oh, sure.
You just kind of go through the motions. And that's almost like the best time because you guys are just like, let's enjoy it because it's almost gone. You know?
Squeeze the juice dry.
That's kind of how I felt about it, where it was like there was like a beautiful romanticism of like, we're doomed, you know?
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
It's so weird. Isn't it? I'm only optimistic in my pessimism. I don't know, but you've been telling me for a long time. I feel okay, and I feel like I'm like ready to. I wasn't ready to move on, and I wasn't ready to move on the last time we broke up, and I was single for a long time because I just like couldn't stop thinking about it, and because I had regrets and stuff, and now I'm just like, okay, I just have to like. I gotta talk to some people. I gotta like get out of my head. Cause that's what you've told me throughout this entire process is just like, you're like, you haven't been with that many people. And I was like, it's not my fault that I just fall in love with people and then get to know them. Like,
You don't have to fuck a bunch of people.
No, I can't do that. Just expanding your,
having a conversation. You find out so much so fast.
Yeah.
Of just like,
I know, but I haven't been open to that. Cause I've been so scared. And I wasn't over this other person. And I was like, I can't. You know,
right?
No, I don't want to. I don't want to talk to anybody else.
Right.
It takes meeting one person to be like, oh shit, there's a lot of people that I'm compatible with.
But they
out
have
there.
To be good. That's the thing. You have to be compatible with them.
But here's the thing: even if it's not the person you end up with, I met so many nice people when I started dating, and like I was like, wow, this guy is a successful engineer. He's attractive. He's very nice. He's picking up dinner. Like, but. Yeah, I wasn't super attracted, but I'm like, oh, this caliber of person is out there and we're very compatible. We have similar interests. It's only a matter of time before I find that person who's got all these things and I'm attracted to them. You know what I mean? But you have to just have those little reminders of like, oh, look at this. Look at this. And then I fucked him. Okay.
I know. It's one of those things where like I go.
Sorry, just as you were being like,
like, I just, I know some guy's gonna come along, and I just pictured the slow-mo of Cam with like wind blowing, like turning over his shoulder in like the Paramount lot, and he's just like on a horse. I just love that Cam is like the knight in shining armor who rode into your life.
Oh yeah,
this tall gingery man.
Did I tell you guys that I used to do like a bit about how I just need to like ship somebody in from the Midwest who like crunches numbers as a day job?
Really?
I used to do a joke. I'm like, I'm just gonna have to ship somebody from, you know, whatever.
Manifested.
Ohio, whatever. Yeah.
Dude.
And like, I need him to be like just like a banker or like that, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. And he works in marketing, finance in the entertainment industry, but it's like, oh my God. And he's from Rockford, Illinois.
Crazy.
Like, isn't that weird?
That is weird.
I used to make jokes of it, and now he's here.
Yeah, you may. I got to stop doing that stay at home dad bit. That's what I'm going to get.
But that's what you want.
But the joke is about how
it's.
That's the joke is how it's about how what I need, but it's not what I want. Because I wouldn't respect him, even though I would. It would be the most convenient thing for my life.
Right. You could just. I think it's the opposite of what you want. But you could always just like get a nanny who you like.
I could get a nanny.
For help.
But I can't bang the nanny.
What about one of your sisters?
As to take care of my kids. I've already asked one of them to be a surrogate. Like, sure. I gotta keep it there tight. I'm gonna be doing
that's what family's
theater
for.
Tour. No,
yeah, yeah,
that's what family's for.
Surrogacy. Watch your kids. Yeah, there you go.
Hatch your kids. What you said?
No, I said watch your kids, but I like hatch your kids.
Hatch
better.
Is good too.
Hatch your kids is way better.
Have you been doing any self care practices? I guess well, it just happened last night, but will you be doing anything that you don't usually do to take care of yourself during a difficult time?
Yeah, I mean, I bought myself flowers. I've been like, they're on my desk. And you know, I like did my morning pages this morning, and I read some of The Artist's Way, and I'm like, really
well done.
You know, you get to that space of like, you're like, oh, I'm gonna get my shit together now, because you're like, because I clearly I'm not good at making other people happy, like, you know, when you get into that place where it's not it's not true, but you know, the thing where you're like, I guess I just gotta get all my ducks in a row for, you know, so I don't ruin the next one, you know.
Like, it is the only thing you control. You can only control yourself and what you're doing.
Yeah,
you know, you can't control somebody else, and that's the hardest part about being in a relationship. Is they have to really, you know.
By the way, let's move these because I'm worried it's going to pick up the sound because everybody keeps hitting their papers.
Yes.
Okay.
Our sound technician.
Should we get into another segment?
Yes. Do you have a self-care list?
Well, all the people that have been booking me for shows, thank you very much. Very grateful. But yeah, I have been out every single night pretty much and, you know, running on fumes.
Yeah.
But I am absorbing so much new material, and like when you're trying to do new shit on stage, I think myself, I beat myself up if I forget to try something that I was supposed to and it connects to this piece and then I forgot to do that, and so I'll get off and then I'll realize like, shit, like I wanted to try this other thing and I gotta wait till next show, and it's like it's crunch time, I only have a few more weeks, and like so I've just been kind of like beating myself up, even if the show, like the set goes great and like people are, I should focus on like, oh, my new material's working versus God damn it, I needed to do this
other
thing.
I had more that would have worked.
Yeah. Or like, I need to find out if this shit is working before the, you know, the taping. So I've just been like beating myself up crazy. And then I, you know, spiral into other stuff. Like I feel very overwhelmed with just like everything. But it's been nice because I've gone through like these cycles before, but having somebody who's like very supportive is a new thing for me, to where I can come home. I came home completely stressed out, like, oh my God, I have no gas in my car. I forgot to do my bits. I have to ship this dick mug. we have no toothpaste. I'm hungry.
We have no toothpaste. I'm hungry. Yeah.
He's like, Bree, calm down.
What
and like, he went to the gas station to put gas in my car. He got us toothpaste. He shipped my mug for me on his lunch break today. Stuff like that, where I'm like, oh my God, this is so helpful, because I would have just tried to do all this by myself and just ran myself ragged and been fucking crazy. But being able to, like, I don't usually ask for help, but being able to ask for help and like receive it without like judgment or like argument is so nice.
And he seems like he just offers too. It doesn't even seem like you have to be like, can you please?
He will. Yeah, like he will. Sometimes I'm like,
babe, will you do me a favor?
Right.
You're not going to like this, but I really need it. And sometimes he'll be like, he saw me come home stressed out and I heard him like starting putting dishes away and he made me some tea. Oh. Like he was like, okay, well, this is, wow. I'm going to do something to try to like
again
help with the so tornado.
Nice. I'm hitting the good man buzzer, good the man imaginary buzzer. Good man.
Yeah.
Good man.
He brought me tea and then he's like, okay, well, I'll go do this, this, and this. And then at the gas station, he brought me home a dark chocolate bar as a treat.
Cam.
I know.
Where is he?
So good.
Is he home yet? Why is he not home yet?
My self-care list turned into a good man button. Yeah. So
we have to make one.
So you
really do. If anybody listening knows how to do that, let us know.
Figure it out. Yeah. So, you know, I'm trying to take care of myself, but when I can't, Cam does.
That's how it should be.
The boyfriend's more.
You take turns. That's so nice.
Yeah. So it's been nice. It's been helpful.
You know what? I think it's good that you're overwhelmed because it gives Cam an opportunity to take care of you, which in turn probably makes him feel good.
Yeah, probably.
Know, right?
I'm very appreciative
like
of it.
People. I feel like that's a common problem in relationships when the woman is very, very independent and self-sufficient, that sometimes the guy is left feeling like, well, I feel like you don't even need me because you're doing everything on your own.
Yes.
So yeah, I agree. I think
which
there's times
exactly
where
what I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like it took me a while to ask for help from Cam because I was so in the mode of like doing everything on my own and the way that I like the way I do it. I don't want anybody else to do it, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's so nice when you can just get over that and just ask for help. And maybe things won't be done completely up to par of what you would do, but it's better than nothing. You know, like, hey, babe, can you clean the bathroom? His version of cleaning is not my version of cleaning.
Yeah,
stuff like that. But it's helpful and it's sweet and it's great.
Yeah. The bed is made, but the sheets are wet.
Yes.
But you know what? Hey, you did it.
Yeah. That's Kane with dishes where he'll do them and I'm like, thank you so much. That's really wonderful. And then I go over there and I'm like, but why is why can't you visibly see that there are still cheese crumbs on this plate?
Yeah.
And it's like, you feel so cunty and like, just like militant, like, why are there cheese crumbs on this? And he's like, I just did all of them. Like, come on. But so I'll just silently, like a crazy person, do a second wash.
Sneaking out of bed at 2 a.m. Yeah. What? You're awake? I was just eating water.
Yeah. I also told Cam, like, after this month, because I'm like, this month's going to be rough. I'm going to need some extra love. I'm going to take him
out
to, like, a nice dinner to say thank you for putting up with my shit.
Perfect.
That's, you just throw money at it.
Yeah.
And everything's
I'll get you a steak at the end of it, Toots. Don't you worry.
I buy you a steak, huh? Yeah. Mazel.
And it's nice because if he's taking care of you, then he doesn't feel bad about you like paying for stuff. Because I make so much more money than any man my age. I always feel bad because like, I don't care. Like, I'll pay for stuff. But like, you know, it's also like you gotta
be careful.
You also have to just be careful. Like, are you good about asking for help too? Because I'm not very good at it.
Terrible.
But I still want you to do it.
Yeah, I'm terrible. But I have gotten a little bit better over the years.
Yeah.
But I also just, I don't like when people ask a lot of me. Like, I'm not one of those people that, like, I just try not to impose on people. I hate staying at friends' places on the road. I would just rather get a hotel. Like, I hate asking for too much.
Yeah.
And I expect people to behave the same way with me. Like, I hate when people are just like, yeah, can I come crash on your couch for 2 weeks? I'm like, nah, bruh. Like, that's not...
Not
cool.
Not me, babe.
That's it's not me, babe. It's not cool with me and my three cats. Like, you're in their space, and I don't like this.
I get that.
Only so many can fit on the cat tree at once.
I try to get better, but I'm not great about asking for
help. Do you want your needs to be anticipated? Like, if you, like, is you, for me, this is how I am, so maybe I'm projecting on you, but I will do what Delaney does. Like, I'll come home and I'll be like, I'm so stressed and I want stuff, and then I want whoever I'm with to just be like, look, I'll handle it.
I got it.
Oh, thank you.
I've definitely done that. I just did that a couple weeks ago. My flight to New York got changed and all of a sudden it was like this to-do list that still had shit to be done, but I had to go catch a plane and I was like, Kane, I don't know. And he's like, hey, like, I'll go buy the cat food. Like, I'll drop off that thing. You just take care of it. I'm like, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
But like, if I had told him that and he's like, ugh, it sucks, I'd be like, fuck you. You know, like, I'd be like, no, what I need. Yeah. So, yeah, right. I think there is a level of that, of just like saying what you want, and hopefully they pick up on it.
Well, right. I came home not even thinking I was going to get help. I was having just like a little meltdown, like by myself, trying to keep it under wraps. Like, okay, I'm just going to go to my room and quietly freak out. And then maybe just mention, like, you know, I just have a lot to do and I just need a moment, you know. But then he's obviously notices when I'm in those spirals. He's right. Like, okay, I got to get things clean. I got to get the tea going.
Her voice is dog whistle high.
Yeah.
We got to fix it. Let's bring that puppy down.
Yeah. And I think if you're, especially like, I don't know, I'm a little bit of a control freak when it comes to like tasks and work.
Mm. Yeah.
So yeah, giving up that control. It's like not even asking for help, but you're giving up control.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. Like, yeah, everybody would like some help, but like,
yeah,
if it's like, listen, this needs to be done exactly this way, then it's almost more work me just being over your shoulder telling you how to do it. You know, I should just do it myself, and I'm just going to tell you exactly, you know, step by step.
Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's getting better.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah. It's good. It's fine. It's
almost done.
I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and that feels good.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm so tired. I know. And then I'll be on to some other kind of crazy shit, I'm sure.
I know.
Oh my God. April 16th, I'll be like, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
We'll have to handle your come down.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Me and Kelsey have been dealing with ours. And then yours is coming.
Yeah.
Round the mountain. Oh, but we're going to be great by that time. So you can just call us and we'll be good.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, when you finally like get a free day or something, don't you just like walk around like, what do I do with myself?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
It's very like all these things when you're so busy, you're like, oh, I can't wait till I can have time so I can do this, this, and this. Like, and then when it comes time to free time, it's like, I just like walk aimlessly around my apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Thank God for tech. Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
No, you go. No.
Oh. I just was going to say, thank God for taxes keeping me on my toes.
Ah.
Yeah, because that's just a constant nagging thought of like, you better do that or else you go to prison. But if taxes weren't around right now, I would be waking up like, what do I do with myself?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah.
I've had a couple days like that. And I have more coming up, and I am loving it.
Yeah.
Good.
I really am.
Good.
I mean, I also spent the whole... I got back at noon on Friday, and my body has been in pain the whole weekend just from, like, lack of sleep and flying. And, again, I can't sleep, and it's horrible. But I'm like, now it's Monday, and I'm kind of like, okay, I can feel... I think I've cracked
some
my
movement.
Back. Yeah.
Have you gone to the Room Organic?
Not yet. I have to.
Don't you have a gift card?
I do have a gift card.
Dude,
yeah,
what are you waiting for?
I just keep forgetting.
It's free.
I'll go tomorrow.
It's great. I went to Massage Envy today. And I was at the Room Organic like 2 weeks ago. I've been really treating myself with massages.
I swear, massages are the best treat to yourself. If you're freaked out or scared, just tell one of us. We'll go with you.
Wait, okay. What are you scared of?
Because you get a little nervous about the massage thing, right? Because this is only going to be your second time.
It's just strangers touching.
I'll do a couple's massage with you if
they
you
are
want.
A little invasive there.
It's like
I will
Tinder,
say.
But expensive.
They kind of get all up in your in your butt crack.
Yeah.
But I like it.
But it's so nice.
I'm
oh
weird.
My God. I go to Paola. She's fantastic.
Doesn't
shout
it
out
hurt,
to
though?
No. It's great. But you tell them
you'd let
light,
them know.
Medium, or hard pressure.
I almost passed out in mine today, to be
what?
Honest. Like, several times.
Because it hurt?
It was the most deep pressure I've ever, or deep tissue I've ever had. But I told him specifically, like, I need this to be, like, a medical massage, because I'm covered in knots in my back and neck. Yeah. And I was like, I just need you to get rid of the knots. Like, yeah. Do what you have to do. And this is, like, a dude using his elbow.
Oh, God.
With all his strength and... I mean, people, like, you get knots from stress and anxiety, and I felt like something weird was happening, almost like I was killing horcruxes in my back, where, like, I felt, like, the stress and the anxiety being released, but it was, like, I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
I've never felt the sensation where I was, like, I thought I was going to pass out. It was so intense. It was so much pain.
Yeah.
That sounds horrid.
Yeah. It was not good, it's but it tough. Has to happen to get rid of, like, some they're of so bad.
But
yeah.
That's how I feel.
You just say that you like, you want the light to medium, and
I want
they'll be gentle.
I want the boyfriend massage.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
As you guys have said.
Yeah. I will get one in the bed next to you with the curtain open and just, like, be there for moral support if
yeah.
you want.
I would love that.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
And so besides, like, massages.
Oh, yeah.
You had something.
I had, what are we calling this? Like an artist date, basically. Treat yourself, artist date. Some of you may have seen me post it on Instagram, but I looked up where the Dunder Mifflin building is, because if any of you are fans of The Office, some of you already know that they did not shoot that in Scranton, Pennsylvania. They shot mm-hmm. it here in Los Angeles. And I have just perpetually watched The Office constantly for years. Like, it's a show that Kane and I will watch all the way through, and then we'll take a couple of months off, and then we'll start the whole thing back again. It's just always on in the background. Like, it's by far my favorite television show of all time.
Yeah.
And so we were watching it, and I was sitting there like, why haven't I looked this up yet? We live in LA. We've lived in LA for 3 years. Why don't I know where this building is? And I Google mapped it, and it said 10 minutes away from your apartment.
Oh, how funny.
And I almost started crying right there, because I was like, oh my God, like, how has it been this close? This is crazy. Like, that's just so crazy to me that I've been watching it in my apartment all this time, and it was 10 minutes from me. Like, that's so crazy to me. And so I didn't tell Kane, because I wanted to surprise him. And so on Saturday morning, I was like, I got a surprise for you. Just get in the car. And he's like, what are we doing? Like, why won't you tell me? I was like, just trust me. It's going to be great. So we start driving, and it's in the valley, like, deep in the valley.
Yeah.
Like, Tijuana in the valley.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Where he was like, are you going to murder me? Like, why are we out here? Like, there's barbed wire everywhere, like, weird billboards. And all of a sudden, you can see the corner of Dunder Mifflin, like, sticking up above all the other buildings. And I just, like, slapped my hand over my mouth, and I was like, oh, my God. And we pulled up, and it says Chandler Valley Center Studios on it. So it doesn't say Dunder Mifflin, but it is, like, it's the building. It looks exactly the same other than that. And we pulled up, and Kane was just looking at it. He's like, wait. Oh my God. And, like, we both just had this huge freak out, and we got out and we took all these pictures, and we just, like, nerded out for probably 20 minutes, and there were, like, workers driving by just like, who the fuck are these people doing? We're just like, I had tears in my eyes. It was so cool, and it made me so happy that that's, like, that close to my apartment, and I just want to keep going back.
Did you sing the theme song outside?
That's cute.
No, we should have. But we were doing, like, remember when Michael almost jumped off the roof there, and then Jim and Pam almost kissed there, and that's where Andy pushed Dwight into the bushes, and these are the bushes. And I guess the wedding, or the church that they got married in, is in Sherman Oaks. It's, like, 10 minutes from there.
Oh,
so
wow.
I want to go to the church, too. It's now become just, like, a crazy scavenger hunt of let's find all of the office locations. So
nice.
That was a fun, cool thing.
Yeah, the pictures were very cute. You looked so excited.
I was so happy. It's just the coolest. It's just like it's kind of like Cheers, where it's like the building is what the show is. Like, it's almost the same as a character in the show. And
yeah.
So to see it is like seeing a celebrity to me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
And the Cheers location is about 100 feet from my office.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah,
really?
We have that soundstage on our live.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. Oh.
Just like seeing that, you know, the plaque on there. It's like, oh my God, I fucking love Cheers.
That's so neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
you
really like.
I like it. I should really give you a tour of where I work.
Yeah, I've been really,
like a
hardcore
real one.
Hinting at it.
Yeah,
like since we became friends.
Yeah.
When we have some time, I'll actually show you around. And,
that'd
like,
be really cool.
Maybe some sound stages that are available. Absolutely.
And I wanted to ask one more. This is a quick to fuck. After I got my massage today, the woman at the counter was like, and would you like to add gratuity? It was a $60 massage. Mm-hmm. So I was going to do 20% and put 12.
Yeah.
And before I could even say, she goes, the standard usually is $20. And I was like, do you mean 20%? She goes, no, $20. Because you got like a discounted rate massage because it's your first time, but like usually it's more than that. So, you know, people usually tip $20.
That's weird to say.
And I felt so uncomfortable because what am I going to do at that point? No, I'll do 12. I just was like, okay, but that wasn't what I was planning on. And like he did a great job, but for her to be like, you got it at the discounted rate, it's like, yeah, but that's what I got. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't get a $100 massage.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Because I was conflicted. I was like, am I being cunty to be annoyed that that woman was, like, basically telling me what I needed to tip? Or is that pretty standard?
Tips are weird because, like, you don't really, like, I feel like it's different for everything. Like, when you go out to eat, it's usually, like, 20% is standard. But, like, when I get a massage, I always tip 20. But that's just probably like a learned behavior where I think my mom always tipped 20 or like, or sometimes they'll even show you like what the normal like tips are. It's like 15, 20 to 25. If you get this one, this is the, you know, usual or whatever. But that's the thing is like, you don't know.
Yeah.
Really know what people get and expect on a daily basis. It's an uncomfortable thing. Or even like when I was a tour guide at a studio, we accepted tips, but people didn't know to tip. And then if one person did, then everybody started tipping. But like, it's one of those things where it's like, sometimes you don't know about the profession. Like, do they accept tips or is it offensive if I offer one? Like, sometimes I'll like go to the Jiffy Lube and be like, should I tip them or do I just drive away when I get my car done? Like, I think it's just depends, but I don't think you should call it out like, excuse me.
I think that's weird and sort of rude. Unless you were like, what do people usually do?
Yeah.
But you didn't ask for that. And like, there are a lot of weird, I feel like a massage is kind of a weird situation. Like, I don't know if you've had this experience when like, you'll go to, you know, comedy clubs or like gigs with Jim or something, and like they send a car to pick you up, and you're like,
yes,
do I?
I always do because I don't want to look like a bitch, but I also don't know like how much.
Yeah.
I've tipped everything from like 5 to 20, kind of depending on like what I have on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also assume I'm like, this, they're coming from like a big fancy company. Like, I'm sure they're getting some great rate. Like, you know what I mean? But I don't know.
And you're also like, I didn't pay for this, like, so is it my job to tip? Like, is it more my job to tip?
Exactly, because I'm not paying
and this is all I have to do. Like, I feel like I tend to over tip, like, especially at comedy clubs too, now that I'm headlining.
Always with the wait staff.
Oh my god, so much, like, real hard, because when you're feature, you're kind of just like, there's less pressure if I tip at all, they're like impressed. But like, as a headliner, you're kind of like, okay, so just like $20 every night? Like, that's...
Oh, nice. Yeah. Like, I would assume that. Because I do 20 as a... Like, if I'm featuring, I'll do 20 for the weekend. Like, if it's like 3 shows or something like that, I would give them 20.
Yeah. But I've done clubs, like nice clubs, where I give them like $20. But, and even if I don't order anything. And they're like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, but yes. They're doing me a favor by letting me come here. I should be doing your job.
Like, right.
Dave Attell was here last year. Last week. I don't know what I'm doing here. So
that's nice.
It's very, tipping's weird. We gotta get into
because we've got a guest coming in a little bit for next week's episode.
Let's talk about the documentary, Take Your Pills. Kelsey is the one who saw it first.
Yeah.
And suggested it.
Yeah.
And I mean, to sum it up, how would you want to sum it up? You sum it up.
Oh,
I know you're high.
I feel like it's mostly about the effects of Adderall.
Yeah.
And Adderall, how prevalent it is in this day and age. Right. And that it's kind of
an epidemic more so now than even in the 60s
yeah.
with like that big drug boom, because it's much more widely accepted now for people to be on Adderall. The thing that one of the doctors said in it that really stuck with me was that people used to take drugs to check out, and now people are taking drugs to check in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like people are taking drugs to zone in and focus and work, as opposed to, you know, popping Molly and right. going to the club or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, if we're all just focused on like self-improvement
yeah.
and how to be the best, and work is a huge focus.
Yeah.
That was interesting. They said what? The U.S. is one of two countries that, what do they say, prescribes? Or it has the highest rate of Adderall prescriptions or something of that nature.
Yeah.
No, like, that statistic that where they said it went from like... 600,000 kids to like 3.5 million.
Yes, ADHD, yeah. More diagnosis in the U.S. than any other country.
Wow.
That says a lot about our culture, and also maybe how, I don't know, doctors are prescribing them, you know?
Yeah.
But it was interesting hearing all the different perspectives. You hear from the students, you hear from the parents, you hear from doctors, you hear from athletes. It was interesting seeing this, or tech people who work in tech, like all their different perspectives on it.
Yeah.
And like, you can see like, all right, well, to me, it seems like the pros have to outweigh the cons. Like if you're doing it and you're experiencing really awful side effects, you know, and you're okay without it, then, and you're just doing it for an enhancement,
right?
Like, you know, maybe there's something else out there for you. Or if like it's the only thing that helps, and without it, you're
and you actually
disaster,
have ADD,
right?
ADHD,
then
yeah.
like then okay. I mean, to me, that's, I guess the pro outweighs the con for that. But
yeah,
yeah. I it's interesting. I was very conflicted watching this.
Yeah,
like. When I first started watching it, I've never really thought about Adderall.
Yeah.
When I first started watching it, I was like, I gotta get some Adderall.
Really?
Yeah, I really was.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I was 100% like, what have I been doing?
Like, because you feel like you have trouble focusing, or because you it
no,
appealed
because
to you
I
the
want
idea
to be productive,
to be better.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
I don't have trouble focusing, like I know some people do,
yeah.
who should actually be prescribed something like that. It just appealed to the overachiever in me.
Oh, totally.
Where I was like,
yes.
I want to feel like I have the world on a string for 24 hours.
Right. Yeah.
That sounds nice.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, I could really, that sounds like that's going to be great. Yeah. And then they'd say stuff like, it's basically meth. And you're like, okay, well, that's not great. And then they show you like clips of meth heads and you're like, eh, that's not what I wanted. But and then they go back to like the software engineer being like, Google hired me. And I'm like, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
That's not the meth head. That's a computer guy.
Right.
So funny. I watched it thinking like, oh, whatever's inside my body naturally sounds like Adderall, and I need something that does the opposite. Because when they're talking about the effects of Adderall, I'm like, oh, I get like that on my own shit. Like I'll get into a cycle where I'm like, oh my God, I'm killing it. I'm gonna do so well. Like I can stay up for hours focused on this one thing and like be really proud of myself. So I feel like I do that naturally. My own system does that, where I'm
same.
Like, ooh, I need to like get something to calm me down a little bit and make me relax and not focus too hard on stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is just sounds like me.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. I think the whole like the checking in versus checking out, I think it's also like zooming in versus zooming out, that Adderall zooms you in. And I feel like the three of us do have the capabilities of like, okay, focus on this task, done it, check, like go to the next thing. And that's why we, I think, like getting high now, because it kind of takes us back out and just lets you relax a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The way I heard it was like, whenever they were talking about being super productive and just getting so much done, there was like a night in college that I had a final in the morning and I just stayed up all night in the you know, common area with everybody else studying.
Yeah.
And I listened to the same song over and over and over.
I do that. Yeah.
Do you do that just to get in the zone?
Uh-huh.
And I made all these flashcards and I stayed up all night. And then at 7 a.m. I just went and I took the test. And I'm like, if I could be that productive,
oh God.
But like with jokes or something, but I don't know if it would work for writing jokes.
There are very few deadlines in comedy. That's the hard thing. It's kind of all on your own pace with joke writing for the most part. And so it's
the
easy.
Deadline is your eventual and
your
inevitable demise.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Or like getting prepared for like a taping or something.
Totally.
But those are really just like reworking what you already have and piecing it together.
Yeah. A taping, your eventual, you know, slip into irrelevancy. There's a lot of deadlines, but they're soft.
Well,
they're soft deadlines.
We saw in this, like the guy who did stay up for what, 2.5 days at his tech company. the guy next to him who did the same thing had a seizure. From exhaustion. So it, you know, everything in moderation.
And was still like, can you get me the file?
Yes.
I was like, ooh, dude, Delaney.
That guy. Oh.
You got sick?
I was dying, right, like watching that part. I was like, wow, that dude is fucking in. Like, he is sucked into it. Oh, like, man. I'm in the hospital bed, but send me the files. Dude. Holy shit.
Oh, God. Well, I thought it was so interesting where they were like, even, you know, pregnant women are like preparing their fetuses for eventual success, like making them listen to Mozart in the womb.
Oh, yes.
And like, before you even enter the world, somebody else has all these ideas for you and what they want you to accomplish. And how that could be so much pressure on like a new human, you know? People are always worried about, like, I like that they called it like human capital. Like, what is this person gonna do in this world?
Yeah.
Jesus, just let it be a fucking baby.
I'm so afraid I'm gonna be like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how to not be like that.
I think I'll be the opposite. I think I'll end up having a kid who doesn't really do shit because I'm like, listen, just relax.
Really?
Don't have to be too crazy.
Because you don't want them to be like you.
Because I don't want them to be overworking and, you know, too focused on that. So I think I'll probably have a kid that I'll have to like probably reel in eventually. Like, okay, you got to do something. Let's get you a hobby or some shit. Because I think I'll be very like, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. I don't think I'm ever, I don't think I'll push them to do it. I was like, you know, do what you want and I hope you do well at it. But I'm never, I don't think I'll be like, you have to do this, this, and this.
Yeah, you know? Because my parents did that to me too. And it's, I'm never going to be like, you got to get straight A's. But then I don't know what kind of parent I'm going to be. I mean, I really worry about having kids because I'm worried I'm going to be the type of person who's just like, no, it's fine. Don't do that. But, you know, it's fine. You'll just end up living on the street.
And super manipulative.
Yeah, just a passive bitch.
My parents were manipulative growing up, and I have that in me.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm worried. I'm worried that if a kid pisses me off enough, I'm just going to be like, look, I gave you life, right? I don't have to be nice all the time.
Right.
Like, I'm afraid I'm going to be that guy. What did you guys think about, I thought this was really interesting, when that student was talking about how she needed to work during high school to save money for college, and there were all these rich kids who just had daddy's credit card and were using it to buy Adderall and having an easier time accomplishing academic success because they were getting pills that enhance their performance and they already have money for school and they don't have to work and they already have more time than her. And she's like, and it's just one more advantage that they have that I don't.
Right.
And I thought that was so interesting.
Right.
And it kind of tied into what someone else was saying, which was just like, I forget who said it in the documentary, but
was it the athlete talking about like leveling the playing field?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was leveling the playing field.
Right.
And you hear all that stuff and you go, oh man, we're all just kind of trying to level the playing field a little bit. Like, you know, you're trying to, you know, medicate people with issues that, you know, they have, but then that wasn't the case, you know, 100 years ago. You had to just, you were just that guy.
Like,
you were just kind of spacey. Like, that was it.
Yeah.
And you had to deal with that. And everybody has setbacks in their life. And I mean, I've been feeling like this. You decided, you know, the weed's working for me. I'm not going to mess with the medication. And the medication has been such a bitch for me, but people keep telling me that when you find the right one, it's a total game changer. When you find the right one, it's a total game changer. But I don't, I kind of am getting to a point where I'm like, I would rather just figure out how to deal with this thing about me, because my anxiety isn't a totally bad thing. Like, all of our anxiety, we have talked about this, is the reason we are successful and good at what we do and good girlfriends and good friends and good coworkers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because we are always planning for the next four steps ahead.
Yeah.
And so we're thinking about the consequences. And so we're going to do everything right now to make sure those don't happen. And then like all that. So there are pros to feeling like that and maybe not being as relaxed all the time. And it's also like, you know, is it even fair to, you know, just medicate yourself into perfection. Like when they're talking about how Adderall just makes you that person that you want to be.
Hercules.
Right.
Where the software engineers, like, there are all these guys that it's so easy for them and you just pop a pill and you're that guy.
Right.
And I'm like, that's kind of hard to turn down.
I picture like in Mario Kart when you hit a star and you're just like, and like everything brushes off of you and going at like super hyper speed. I feel like that's what that must feel like.
Yeah.
But I'm scared to know what that feels like because that's so addictive for people like us, I would assume.
Well, the thing is, like, the side effects scare me. I mean, being, the chance of being addicted to something or dependent on something, the cardiovascular stuff.
Oh, my God.
What else? The, just like, what did they say? Just like heart attack, dude, out of nowhere.
Yeah, when they say they know it, they know it's working because they feel their heart racing. They start to sweat a little bit. I'm like, yeah, that's how I am every day. It's kind of like what you're saying. Exactly. I don't need my heart to be racing more. Or they're like, oh, it helps me stay awake. I'm like, I already have trouble falling asleep. It's all these things that.
Yeah. But you'd feel good about it.
Yeah.
I think the way they were like, it's an Adderall business. This is a business. Yeah. And that is a hard thing to wrap your head around, that like some people are being medicated and they don't have to be because it's so much money. It's like, what is it? Multi-billion dollars, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was super interesting how they rebranded Adderall.
And Ritalin.
And Ritalin, named after his wife, right?
Marguerite.
But how they went from like, this is for people who have mild brain damage to actually it's just this is for people who have attention issues. The way that they rebranded it, where it had like a kind of maybe more negative connotation to begin with. And then it's like, oh, this is an easier thing to accept that my child has attention issues versus they're damaged.
Yeah.
So you're more likely to buy something like that. But I thought that was really interesting how they,
And the marketing campaign for parents.
Oh, yeah.
How they just like so got in parents' heads, like, oh, your son could be so well behaved and a straight A student and not be bothering you. Like, oh, like he's acting like a kid, like a hyper kid, you know, which I mean, again, of course, there are actual kids with ADD, but that was just such a quick fix for so many people. Like, I'll just give my kid this pill.
Right. Yeah. Oh, and I really appreciated how brave that parent was, the mom who was like, you know what? Shamefully, I didn't do the research on it.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't. I just, if you're put in a position where people in authority or people you appear to be in authority, your doctor, your kid's teacher, other parents are saying stuff like, it works, it's fine, put them on it. Sometimes you just take things at face value and you don't do your own work and research. But I thought that it was really cool for like, you know what? I didn't do the research.
Yeah.
Because that can be a hard thing to admit. And then she said something like, yeah, and I look everything up. I look up how to open a fucking can, you know, like why didn't I do it? I don't know. Because people were saying it was fine and I did it. I think that was interesting point of view as well, coming from a mom.
Well, yeah. And when a doctor tells you, you're like, great. I was Googling it because I couldn't find a doctor at 2 a.m. Like, that's why you use Google.
Right.
It's just a makeshift doctor.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just keep going back to like the unfair advantage of it all, of it just being sort of a quick fix. But you can say that about anything. You can say that about antidepressants.
Right.
You can say that about Adderall. You can say that about weed.
You can say about alcohol. Yeah.
Alcohol.
About anything, really.
You can say anything.
Anything. Being able to afford a workout class, again, you have to find what works for you and makes you feel like the best version of yourself, and whether that's medication, weed, yoga, whatever. You could argue that just being the best you is an advantage, you know.
True. Coming from three privileged white women, but I really did feel sort of just like, because I've just been struggling so much with whether or not medication is the right thing, because you know, you hit those walls where you get kind of hippie-ish, where you're just like, I shouldn't be on anything. I'll be like, when that guy was talking about how when he was on drugs, he was a completely different person.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're like, oof. Yeah, that's horrible. That doesn't feel good. I want to be in my body.
Right.
I don't want to spend my life like, I don't know that I want my life to be a little bit easier if I feel everything a bit less.
Yeah.
You know? Absolutely. But then I don't know, because the highs are great, but the lows are so low.
The lows, really low. Well, it's interesting. This is an interesting documentary because it does leave you feeling like, okay, so it sounds like there's pros and cons to both. To me, it didn't have a very clear point of view. Yeah. You know, like when we watch What the Health, it's like, meat is evil. Everything must die, you know? Like that was a very clear point of view. It was like very pro-vegan, you know, piece. Yeah. But this was like, here's some of the facts. Here's what experts are saying. Here's what the kids are saying.
Do what works for you.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Like, all right. Okay.
Yeah, but if you want to try it, pills are $2, I guess.
I know.
On campus.
Yeah. I thought it was super interesting when they did that trial versus Adderall versus the placebo,
where there wasn't much of a difference. So they're saying like maybe, you know, just like the placebo effect of sometimes this pill can just heighten things for you.
Yeah.
If, you know, if you don't medically need it. But I thought that was really interesting that the only thing people were saying like, yeah, you just have a feeling of well-being.
Yeah.
You know,
that just sounds weird, so right? Nice.
I would be interested because we've also, one of our listeners wrote in at one point and actually thought that I might have ADD. But I don't. I just think that sometimes anxiety can look a little bit like ADD. Yeah. But I think she was saying it because she has it. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if any listeners are comfortable with it and they want to write into us at selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com. And let us know what your experience is on it. Just
do.
Because this has been a really fascinating documentary for all of us. And
yeah,
I'm curious to know if you guys who use it feel like it's helped you in life or
Was it really common on your college campus that everybody had it or had access to it or were selling
Not
it?
Not that I knew of.
Really?
But I also was like, apparent. I didn't do any drugs in college. I was just drinking. Yeah. So I wasn't really around that scene, I guess.
Totally. Well, I didn't do anything either. I had barely like smoked pot. I didn't even really drink in college because I was so over it because I drank so early on. I got tired of it.
Yeah.
So I was like super straight edge in college, which people find it hard to believe.
Yeah.
I knew everybody. So many people were selling it. Everybody was on it during, it was just a given. Everybody was on it during finals and midterms and all that stuff. And I never took it, but like, I mean, most of the population had it or was buying it or using it. I thought that was interesting, you know?
Yeah. I wonder at what point schools and corporations and stuff like that started providing workloads that made people feel like they needed actual medication to accomplish them, because that was a big part of the documentary too, is talking about that now there's an expectation to get more work done than ever or more homework or more.
Right.
Like, I do remember that in some of my college classes, it was like, this is unreasonable.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't just 'cause I'm dragging my feet and don't, like, this is an abnormal amount of work, especially when you're considering you're taking 5 other courses or whatever.
Right.
And I wonder if it's always been like that. I feel like more and more it's gotten worse and worse.
It's gotten worse. Because you even talk to people, like, if you know, if your parents went to school or whatever, you talk about their workload versus ours. It feels very different.
Yeah.
It feels really different. Like, it seems like they were having a much better time and jobs were easier to get and all that stuff. I think it's just become way more competitive. And I don't know. It's interesting. It's interesting how just the kids don't even think of this as dealing illegal drugs or buying illegal drugs. They're just like, it's just, you know,
they're doing it in like public forums, like on Facebook photos,
they're
commenting
about it. And like, they're not getting in trouble for it. So it's like kind of this accepted thing among the kids and the teachers and anybody else. Like, I guarantee you, even if somebody saw a student selling Adderall to another student, they probably wouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe professors are popping Adderall to correct all the tests.
Yeah, exactly.
Possibly.
It's so weird.
I related to all the kids in it who were just like, oh, it's so easy to get and I could just get it, but I'm a good kid. Like, I related to those kids way more than the kids who were like, yeah, of course I'm doing Adderall. Like, it's hard out here. You know? I'm just like, wow, highlight. You don't need Adderall. You don't need drugs. But I also was kind of like, I would like some of that.
It's just scary because you're not supposed to really drink when you're taking it is what they're saying. Like,
really freaks me out.
Increases your risk of, like, I don't know, blacking out or, you know, I'm sure ODing on alcohol, basically. And like,
basically like a Four Loko.
Yeah. I remember people would pop an Adderall just so they could party all day and night so they could just stay awake drinking. And I'm like, this can't be good. You know,
that's at least get a degree.
That freaks me out when she was like, the Adderall will wear off as you're drinking and then you'll come down into a blackout.
Yeah.
Because you've already basically been in one, but the Adderall's kept your mind awake enough. And then all of a sudden there's so much alcohol in your body.
You're in the sunken place.
Oh my God. Yeah, I was in the sunken place so many times in college. Yeah. Woo, girl.
So weird. But yeah, I don't know. It was fascinating. I liked learning about the history of everything. Definitely.
I really like that. I thought they did a really good job with like those kind of throwback cartoon or whatever, like the animation of that the guy who invented Ritalin wanted his wife, Marguerite, to be slimmer and play better tennis. So random. And so then it was Ritalin and they took off the E, Ritalin.
Yeah.
I love that kind of shit. Yeah. It's like a little Snapple fun fact.
Super. And then Adderall before it was like, what? Obitrol. And because it's for ADD, they just named it Adderall.
Yeah.
Like, interesting. Yeah. See what you did there?
Yeah.
So take your pills on Netflix.
Yeah,
highly
check
recommend
it out.
We all really liked it.
Yeah, super interesting.
Email us, like Kelsey said, if you have any like drug experiences, like prescription drugs, I'd love to hear them. Just because we've all been dealing with, you know, different things, and just it kicked up a lot of stuff for me. You know, I feel like a lot of it translated to different prescription situations as well. So, email us. Please rate and review the podcast. We're at like 307.
What's up on iTunes?
Thank
you,
guys.
So many.
Thank you.
Thank you to almost all of you. There's a couple duds in there. You know what?
Not
everyone's dad loved them.
Like, and you know what? That's how, you know, we're actually getting listened to, because there's some negative ones. Now we're like, oh, it's real.
Yeah, we don't some know hate. Those people.
We got some haters now.
We had haters from the beginning. I see you. I know who you are.
We remember.
We remember.
We know who you are. But yeah, just give us 5 stars. I realized the other day I had not done it yet.
What?
Taylor, I can't believe it.
You are out.
I didn't realize. I was looking at our reviews.
Boo.
And I went, why is there no stars? And I just went, oh no, I never.
Boo to you.
I know. I'm sorry, you guys.
So now we have what, 308?
Yeah, all I'm saying is it's never too late.
Yeah.
For any of
us. One of our own.
I'm sorry, you guys.
I don't even know who you are. Great. I can't even look at you.
But yeah, your reviews are great, and we've been reading all of them, and we love them. They make us so happy.
It really does help.
We were just back on the top iTunes charts last week, and it's because like when we get the surge of listeners and the new rating and review, it helps us so much. So it's just one click.
Just one click
that 5th star. Yeah. It's so easy.
I just want to tour with this so bad.
We're on Instagram, Self-Helpless Podcast. Join our private Facebook group. We've got we're close to 400 now.
That's exciting.
Yeah, everyone's great. Everyone posts every day. It's just the best. It's so, so fun. Nice. I love everybody.
We take your advice.
You guys are great.
I purchased a mechanical pencil because somebody told me that writing with pencil in your planner, it's easier to change kind of things around be open to change in your schedule and stuff like that, because I used to just do it in pen and then have to cross a million things out, and then it just looks like so scary when you look at this fucking crazy mess of a planner. So I took your advice and now I have a mechanical pencil. Thank you.
I love that.
Yeah, but just stuff like that. I mean, like you guys are as much as part of the podcast as we are. Like, we take everything you say into account and we try to incorporate all of your advice and tips for the show and everything. And
great.
We love you guys.
Great quotes.
Group effort.
With your fingers or what you write on paper, just write what your apartment number is so Mo can get there.
Oh,
sorry. Yeah. We've got our guest for next week. Mo Mandel is an amazing comedian. He is here, so we have to let him know where he is.
Yeah. Let's plug our stuff.
Yeah.
Delaney.
At Delaney Fisher and DelaneyFisher.com. Ice House, Pasadena, April 15th, 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Free tickets. My taping.
So excited for that. At Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter, T-Tom Comedy on Instagram, ttomcomedy.com for tour dates. I am at the DC Improv headlining the 5th through the 8th of April. And they posted on the event that I was one of the youngest headliners to do a full weekend there,
amazing.
I was like, oh my God,
exciting.
Cool.
That's very cool.
That's very exciting.
That's so much pressure to not suck dick, but it's fine.
You're going to be amazing.
It's fine.
At Kelsey Cook on Twitter, at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, kelseycook.com for tour dates. And I will be headlining Spokane Comedy Club this weekend that you guys are listening to this. So Thursday the 29th through the 31st. It's my hometown. I'm very excited. It's a great comedy club. So get those tickets. Let's pack those shows out.
Yay. Thanks. We love you.
We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Why won't it